Let's go to the Lord one more time. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the reminder that your grace is all we need, Lord. And even though we don't deserve it, you give it mercifully and frequently. Lord, because there's all kinds of things that we have to go through life. And as we're going to learn this morning from your words, Lord Jesus, just fill us with that grace when we need it, when we don't need it. But there is never a time we don't need it, Father. So thank you. Allow your Spirit to speak these words and not me. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I hadn't planned on saying this, but that last song we just sung, God's Grace, it's an old hymn, but it's a beautiful hymn. Because in this life, we need God's grace more than anything else. We need God's grace more than we need our next breath. Think about that. But without God's grace, that breath is useless. And we're going to need that grace because as Jesus continues teaching, we kind of touched on it last week, but we're going to teach this morning out of Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 42. There are going to be times when we need that grace in buckets. You know, this past weekend, as Shiny and I were cleaning our garage, we got a lot of old 5-gallon buckets, paint buckets and stuff like that. And I was thinking, do we need these buckets? I was thinking to myself. And Shiny had mentioned it, do we need all these buckets? But you know, we may have a time down the road where we need them, but there is never a time when we don't need bucket loads of God's grace. Every day we need it. And why do we need it? Because people that we are close to, people that we claim to love and they claim to love us, sometimes, and even people we don't know, sometimes they will put themselves in between us and God, and we need those bucket loads of grace to get through that instant. So, I just wanted, because that grace song reminded me of this, I just wanted to start that this morning. And why? You know, there used to be a word that many people used to describe all the nations, and when I say nations, I mean people groups, that proclaim and profess Jesus as Lord. And this word was Christendom. And it literally means the kingdom of Christ. But we all talked about the West being Christendom and some parts of the East, all the people. But folks, that term has become what we called archaic. Ancient. Like the word archaeology. It shouldn't be. But mankind has made it. We are now in. Y'all remember a decade or two ago they started throwing around this term postmodern. The kind of society we lived in was no longer modern. That was like in the 1940s. But when you got into the 70s, 80s, it became postmodern. Well, now what they're calling it is post-Christendom, post-church, post-Christ, which literally means after. Folks, there is no after when it comes to God. And there never will be. But this term, Christendom, has been made archaic. And why? Because men and women have turned their back on Christ in some of the most heinous ways that you can imagine. Even to the point of not only seeking out innocent life to quash, but for those that profess Christ, they will attack it. They will attack those people. They will try to bring them to nothing simply because we name the name of Christ. Now, what should we do about that? Well, that's what Jesus is going to teach us this morning. You see, we understand that true religion is to love the Lord your God with everything you are, to take care of widows and orphans in their need, to serve and love the Lord and do what He has called us to do according to His will that we find in the Word of God. We are to be His witnesses and His workers in the harvest. And we'll get to the teachings on the Lord of the harvest after a couple of weeks. But I want to tell you, we need to understand that it is not the feel-good, easy faith. If you want a feel-good, easy faith, become a Buddhist. Become some other, serve a number of Hindu gods. There's a couple of thousand of them you can choose from. If you want an easy religion, do not choose Christianity. True Christians face persecution. We face family members. We face jobs. We face a society that has become, in their words, post-Christendom, post-Christian. But that is not the case. Another lie from the evil one. Because you can never do away with God. He can do away with you. We talked about last week about you need to fear the one who can get rid of both soul and body. Remember that? But he doesn't get rid of you. You get rid of yourself. How do we do that? Because you deny the Lord. You deny Christ. You reject the offer of salvation. Folks, an old cliche, but it's very accurate. Hell is locked from the inside. From the outside, getting in is easy. Getting out, you ain't getting out. Well, how can this happen? Well, it does happen. There are going to be times when we are called to give up our lives to follow Him. Now, when I say lives, yes, I include martyrdom, but that's not all our lives are. When we give up our lives to follow Christ, this means also giving up some of the comforts and the pleasures of everyday life. Now, I'm not talking about godly things. I'm talking about things your flesh craves. Man's approval. Status. Unwarranted wealth. And what I mean by that is not that you work for it, it's that you got it through some other means. And basically, putting yourself as your number one priority. Folks, this is not what Christians do, and Jesus is teaching that. Why do I say this? It's because your flesh will crave ungodly things. Your friends will demand that you participate in ungodly acts. Even your very family will demand that you do their will and not God on some occasions. And folks, if we will be honest with ourselves, we will see that. We don't like it. But it's very easy to deny the Lord before men by our actions. Even if we say Jesus is our Master, and our Lord, and our Savior. Now, how many remember an old fellow by the name of Dizzy Dean? He was a baseball player. Now, he's from Mississippi. That's how I know about him. But he had a saying, it ain't bragging if you can do it. When we're talking about being Christian and all we're doing is giving Lord lip service, then we're bragging. Look how good we are. Look what I'm doing. And yet, by your actions, you're not doing it. You're bragging, but you can't back it up. And folks, that is wrong. And you're only supposed to be bragging in Christ Himself, not yourself, ever. When we boast in the Lord, not what we are. Because without the Lord, we are nothing. So let's get into our... Amen, I heard back there. Amen. So, hey, I like little amens. I wish this place was full of them. Amen. Thank you. You're a little too old, but we'll get to that later. All right. Brothers and sisters, it's good that we can share humor, you know it? That I'm going to get a hymn book thrown at me. All right, Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 42, and we're going to break it down. Let's go through 32 and 33 first. It says this. Remember, Jesus is still teaching. This is not the Sermon on the Mount. This is a later teaching. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, something I need us to understand here. That word confess, that does include mouth, but it also includes actions. Because I can stand inside a garage all day long and call myself a Ford, but does that make me a vehicle? No, my last name might even be Ford, but it's not. I cannot call myself an automobile, even if I'm standing in the garage professing myself an automobile. And you can take that insight in any direction you want. Just because you say you're something don't mean you're that. But how much harder it is for us that say we're a Christian, but only say it and not do it. And folks, I don't have to preach this very loud because we can look around every day and see members of our family, members of our community, sometimes even members of our churches who claim to be Christian but yet live as the world lives. Now folks, when I say live as the world lives, please don't misunderstand me. We have to have jobs, we have to go to school, we have to work, we have to do all those things, absolutely. God gives us talents and abilities to do those things. But when we put the world above our relationship with God, then we become worldly. And if you're doing that on a regular basis, you're going out and committing sins or doing things that you know God would not approve of, and yet you still come to church smiling on Sunday morning, something is wrong there. Because you're not confessing the Lord Christ before men as you should be. Because it's not just saying Jesus is Lord. Because if you really mean that, you cannot say that without the Holy Spirit. We'll get into that in a little bit. But if you're saying it and not living it, then you got a whole mess of problems. Confessing Jesus before men, He will confess us before the Father which is in heaven. And this sounds simple enough. If we confess by our words and our actions that Jesus is Lord, then we are in Christ and He makes us His possession according to the will of God. But if we deny Him, and what I say by deny Him, I mean we deny His divinity, His lordship, His godhood, His sacrificial flesh, and His purpose on earth. If we deny any of that, then we deny Him before men. And if we do it by our actions, if not only by our words, then it promises He will deny us before God. Now that doesn't sound very preachy, does it? Well, feel good preachy is what I mean. But how do I know what I just said is true? Matthew chapter 7, we already went over this in the Sermon on the Mount, but it says, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Words and action equal doeth. Verse 22 of chapter 7, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Folks, Jim Jones professed God in the beginning. In the beginning. That's why they called it the People's Temple. But slowly, he turned. There have been many people throughout history that professed God. There was an old fellow, he was the king of Belgium. He was named Leopold III back in the 1890s. Supposed to be a good, solid Christian man who ordered the massacre of thousands upon thousands of Angolans and in their colony in Africa. Murdered! Now, we understand when we say somebody like Mao or somebody like that who was not Christian, never professed to be Christian, Lenin, etc. We understand that. But a person who professes to be Christian and murders people simply because he can, that is denying the lordship of Christ before men by our actions. Now, no, we're not going to go out and order the death of people, okay? Unless it might be their reputation. Unless it might be their membership in the congregation. You know, they do something we don't like and we start talking behind their backs and we start saying little innuendos and things like that. Folks, that is murder just as much as if you took a bullet to their head. Don't do it. Now, this has not happened here, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But if I ever hear anybody slandering somebody unwarranted, I'm going to have a few things to say. But I would say that about any brother and sister in Christ. We need to be extremely careful because by those actions we are denying. Now, can we be forgiven? Absolutely we can. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for that because I have to do that myself quite often. There are those who would outright deny His incarnation and His work. And they are deniers and deceivers and liars. And John tells us that they are of the Antichrist. 2 John 7:7 says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, we got to understand that word "come in the flesh," that is the word sarx in Greek. That means sacrificial flesh. It's different than just normal flesh. It's flesh that is sent to be sacrificed. And if we say, "Well, Jesus was just a very good teacher. You know, he said some many inspiring things, but he's not the Son of God. He didn't come back from the dead." Then you are of the Antichrist. You want to be on that side of the fence when it hits the fan? Oh, you're going to be successful in this world, absolutely. But guess what? What's after this world is a whole lot longer than what's here. It really is. 1 John 2 says, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist and denieth the Father and the Son." When you deny the Son, you deny the Father. And when you deny the Holy Spirit, you are blaspheming against them, because they're three in one, the Holy Trinity. All God, but separate. And you reject one, you're rejecting them all. And what is the unforgivable sin but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? And that means you die in your sin rejecting Him. You cannot be forgiven for that. Jesus is trying to tell us, if you deny Him before men, He will deny you before the Father. Do you really want the Creator of the universe saying, "I don't know you, you get out of here, you worker of iniquity"? And that iniquity means lawlessness. You deny the law of God. And for New Testament Christians, what is the law of God? That you would love God more than anything else in your life, and then love your neighbor as yourself. We keep the Old Testament law in Christ. So as long as we're obedient and faithful to Christ, we will do the other by nature, because our nature has been changed. And hallelujah for that. Because today, as John just told us, there are many that are in the spirit of Antichrist. Now, while there is only one, the Antichrist, which we will meet in the time of the Revelation, the spirit of him lives among us today. There are many that do his bidding. "Well, preacher, that ain't right. I don't do what the Antichrist." If you're not doing what Christ does, guess which team you're on? Folks, that's hard for us to hear. But it is the gospel truth. If we live our lives in such a way as to deny the very Lord who saves us, and again, you can give lip service all day long. Where's the fruit? Jesus told us, and we'll get to this later, "You will know them by their fruit." Now I'm going to paraphrase. You can't get grapes or figs from a thorn bush. And you try to eat a kookaburra like that, you're going to have a lot of holes in your lip. You can't eat bad fruit unscathed. You might get sick to your stomach. You might throw up. You might get thorns all in you. But you can't. But good fruit comes from a good tree. We got a big old fig bush. It ain't a tree yet, but we got a big old fig bush in our backyard, and it's got dozens and dozens of green figs. Now, am I going to eat a green fig? I am if I'm stupid. I'm going to wait till they turn nice and brown and sweet, and I'm going to enjoy them because they are a gift from God. But I am not in my life intentionally, sometimes I do it unintentionally, but intentionally bear bad fruit, because that means that I'm not following Christ. And yes, I am guilty of this on occasion. That's why I pray that prayer we said earlier, that if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us, because I need a cleansing quite often. Every one of us does. But brothers and sisters, when we live in such a way that we deny the Lord by our actions, then we are by default doing the will of Him who hates us and seeks to destroy us. Remember when we said, or Jesus said, that man cannot serve two masters? You can't serve God and mammon? Well, we can't serve God and ourselves at the same time. Now, when we are obedient to the Lord, He blesses us and He gives us good things, and we have things that we can hold on to even in the most dreaded circumstances. We can cling to God, and He is there, and He will not leave us. But if we're standing by ourselves, we're standing on the sand. The wind's going to blow. The waves are going to crash. Life is going to tear us piece by piece until there's nothing left. Thus, as followers of Christ, we are at all times and in all places to be faithful and obedient to Him who loves us. We are to speak the truth even when it offends others. Now, we don't speak it in arrogance. We speak it in love. We don't say, "Hey, you downtrodden sinner, look how evil you are." No, we say, "Hey, we're all sinners. And God loved me and He loves you too. And if you turn to Him in faith, He will bless you and save you." And you say it out of a pleading heart. You know, Spurgeon once said that, you know, there are going to be many that go into the gates of hell, but when they do, let them go over our bodies. That we've done everything we've done. We've tried everything. We've spoke every word. We've lived every way that we can to show them the truth of the gospel. The truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us do that with our friends, our families, our co-workers, whatever they may be. If we love them, if we care for them, we're going to share them the truth. Not in arrogance, but in love. Because we do love them. But you know, when we do that, it might offend others. And Jesus told us that such truth would bring us into conflict with those who hate Him. Matthew 10, verse 34, 35, and 36. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be of his own household." That hurts, folks. But He's telling us the truth. The spiritual war that there is between somebody who loves Christ in this world can most often be seen in households where another religion is prominent. Now, I'm speaking also of the religion of secular humanism and atheism. Believe it or not, brothers and sisters, they are as much religious. There requires more faith to be an atheist. But it's the wrong kind of faith. Because you're trusting in man and trusting in what you call science, but it's not real science. How many of y'all know that during the Middle Ages and the late Middle Ages and up until the time of the, quote, Enlightenment, theology was called the queen of sciences? Because if you understood God, you could understand anything else. And I say amen to that. We learn all the physical laws and everything because God put them in place. He's the one that started them. He's the one that created them. And if we learn of Him, all the other will fall into place. And if anybody tries to argue, well, the Bible doesn't say this about that or this about that. Look, they're just trying to get you into a vain philosophical, deceitful conversation. It's one of those gotcha moments. Gotcha, you can't answer that. Oh, yes, you can. God took care of it. That's the answer. God took care of it. You know, He made it that way. But anyway, I digress. But you know, the spiritual war against those of God, it's an old story. Now, many books have been written about this, and I want to use a book called The Costly Call, Book 2. And there's a story of a Russian-born Ukrainian KGB/FSB, that's the Federal Security Bureau for Russia, an informant. And he's been working in Ukraine, let's call him Nikolai. He'd been raised as an agent from the time he was 18 years old to work in the KGB. And he had dozens, if not hundreds, of people put in prison for many different offenses, mostly political, but many because they were Christian. Well, he met a dude who had been a former Soviet tank commander, a battalion commander, a colonel, who had been dismissed from the service because he became a Christian. You see, as an officer in the Soviet Army, you had to be an atheist. Now, it's changed nowadays. You got to be a Russian Orthodox Christian, okay? But your main loyalty still has to be to the state, not God. Well, that being said, he met him in his, let's call him Ilya. And he met him in a cafe there in Ukraine. This was back before the war. This was like in the early 90s, okay? And they got to talking, and he was just ready to turn him in. And Eli invited him to come to his house for a Bible study. And Nikolai said, well, you know, if I go there, I can get more evidence. So he waited on turning him in, and he went in there, and he saw many people he recognized from town in the Bible study. And he began to hear something. He said something in him began to change. And he didn't turn him in. Well, guess what? You see, when I was in the Navy and we were chasing Soviet submarines, we would chase one, but one of theirs would be chasing us. When you are an informant, even for the FBI, you've got what they call handlers. Now, you don't know who they are, but they're watching every move you make. So Nikolai, while he was watching Ilya, somebody else was watching him. And when he started going to this Bible study, he got arrested. And he spent 5 years in prison. Why? Because Ilya had told him the gospel. God watered the seed, and he became a believer. And he lost everything. He lost his family. Because if they didn't denounce him, they would go to prison. And they would be watched, so they never had contact with him. He lost his job, he lost his position, he lost any money he had in the bank. He got sent to prison simply because he got baptized. Simply because he professed Lord publicly. When at trial, they asked him, are you Russian or are you Christian? And his answer was, I'm a Russian who is a Christian. Locked up. And there's all kind of other stories in that book that shows fathers and mothers throwing away their children who dared believe the truth of the gospel. Brothers and sisters sending others to prison. Now, that is more prominent in countries with other religions, but it's becoming more and more prominent here. And folks, it does happen. They don't make a lot of press about it because it makes certain people look bad. But all you got to do is read the news out of Canada, and if it's happening in Canada, it's happening here. Okay? You cross the wrong path, you make the wrong person angry. And I've told you this story before, but it's like that person that had a house church. Nobody ever had any problem with it before one of the neighbors called the HOA because he didn't like too many people parking in the front yard. Although everybody could park in the front yard because if you had parties and things like that, you could do that no problem. But because it was a church, he was arrested. Literally. Now, once he got to court, it got thrown out, but he still had to go through the process. And that happened here in St. Louis back in 2011 in a suburb south of the city. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to worldview and politics, Christians are despised by those who love this world more than anything else. On both sides of the aisle. It's not just Democrats. It's Republicans too. It's independents. It's whoever despises God. Some do it for ideology. Some do it for wealth. Some do it for status. Some do it just because they can. But God never leaves you as an orphan. He never leaves you. Christians are despised. Just watch the political ads on TV or listen to them on the radio. You know, I heard this morning, y'all know I have a big set of ears. I heard a Sunday school class talking about political ads this morning and how they don't want to talk about the things of God, but only the things of man or what their political assuages are. And that's true. And you'll hear them defend that. Well, you know, there's so many different religions. There's so many different people of faith. There's so many different, you know, we don't want to offend one. Well, by not offending anybody, you offend all of them because all of those religions also say it's our way or no way. But at least Christians will allow you the opportunity to say that, even though we don't believe it. That's a whole other kettle of fish we'll get into another time. But when we watch these, we see the most vile desires or corrupt society proclaimed as good and wholesome for everyone. Just yesterday, I saw an advertisement for some political office in Kansas. And the main thing is, don't vote for this guy because he receives money from the anti-abortion crowd. Well, he may do. But think about that for a second. People that want to kill children in utero, in certain ideologies, and folks, this ain't just Democrat, there's a bunch of Republicans that believe this too, and a bunch of independents, that it's perfectly okay to kill a child. And there's people that are starting to push, you have to dig for it, but you can find it, that even if a child is born, go ahead and kill them. If they're not wanted, they're not needed, they're going to put a stamp on your life, then just go ahead and get rid of them. Folks, that is from the pit of hell itself. Now, you can talk to me politics all day long, I'll agree, I'll disagree, whatever. But when you start talking about it's okay to do evil, whatever evil that form is, I'm going to shut you down in a heartbeat. And if I have to, I'll turn around and walk away. Why? Because there's one truth. That truth is, thou shalt not murder. And there's a whole bunch of others that goes with that. That truth, that one truth, is from God, as contained in the gospel, as contained in His Word. I will never, ever tell you who to vote for. Because I've already had some people ask me, well, who do you think I ought to vote for this time? You know, that's between you and God. But never forget that God keeps a record of every word, every thought, and every deed you ever did. And you will answer to Him, either in front of the Bema Seat judgment of Christ or for the great white throne. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you have rejected the things of God, God help you. Because there ain't no escape. Folks, I ain't up here to blow sunshine in your ear. I'm here to tell you what the Word of God says. And if you deny Jesus before men by your actions as well as your words, or if you say your words but deny Him by your actions, He will deny you before the Father. What does that mean? It means eternal separation from anything that's good, holy, and loving. That's the truth, brothers and sisters. And I'm not ashamed to stand on the truth. Because if I changed it for any reason, then I would be doing exactly what I'm preaching against. If I changed the gospel to suit somebody, their personal whims or their personal likes, folks, that's no longer the gospel. That's tickling ears. And I cannot do that. But I also have to stand in front of a mirror and see the things that I do and ask forgiveness when the Holy Spirit points out what I didn't do or what I wouldn't do. And if there's any way that I've denied Christ, I ask forgiveness. You see, the most vile desires of a corrupt society are proclaimed as good as wholesome for everyone. And the only thing I can say to that is fools. Now, the Bible tells us to be very careful by calling people fools. But I'm telling you those because the Bible says the fool in his heart has said there is no God. And if you say there's no God, you're a fool. End of discussion. I don't like being called an idiot or a fool or stupid or anything. Nobody does. But when I blatantly do something that I know goes against the Word of God, then I am stupid. Lord, help me not to be that way. Why? Well, Paul said it clearly when he wrote under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Romans 1, starting at 19, says this, because that which may be, talking about people who deny God, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it to them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even His external power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Folks, let me sum this up. When you're a kid and you hit your brother in the head with a brick, you know it's wrong. No one has to tell you it's wrong. You know it's wrong. That's why you lie to your parents and said Joe or Susie down the road did it. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, foolish heart. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. If you deny Christ, if you reject God, you are a fool. That's not me saying it. That's the Word of God saying it. Now I'm going to skip down to verse 28 in Romans 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedience to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit things are worthy of death, not only do they the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They teach you to do the opposite of what God says in His Word. And what does it say? They became fools. They became fools. Those people who do such things or acquiesce to such things and do not repent will be judged by a righteous God. That's the mic drop moment, folks. People cannot stand to hear this truth, and so they belittle or persecute or kill those who tell them the truth so that they might be saved from God's wrath upon wickedness. That's why we tell them the truth, so that they can be saved. And yet they go after the messenger. They can deny God, but they can't go after Him. They can blaspheme God, but they can't hurt Him. But God's people, they can. Remember, the Bible also tells us we are sent as sheep to the slaughter. We are sent to live our lives as God would do it, even to the point where we lose everything, whether that be something material or whether it be that something physical. But in standing for God's gospel and the truth, we are more than conquerors in Christ. Not proud, boastful, or arrogant like what I just read off, but people who love each other enough to tell them the truth of what God says. Preacher, I understand all that, but you know, I have problems. I just can't talk in front of people, then live in front of people. I just can't tell someone how to be saved. You don't have to. God's already done it. Just point your finger to Romans. It tells us about confessing or believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth and all that stuff. God's already done it for you. Well, I want to do things. I want to enjoy life. Fine, enjoy life. Just don't do ungodly things. Well, I like to go out with my friends. Fine, go out with your friends, but don't do ungodly things with them. Because when you do, what do you end up doing? You deny the very Lord you profess. Can't do that, folks. Can't do it. There are those who reject and refuse God simply because they do not want to lose their connections, whether it be friends or family. But let's think about that for a second. Jesus also spoke to this, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That is a hard thing, but it's true. If anything or anyone else is more important to you than your Savior, you are not worthy of the salvation He offers. Folks, that's not me. That's Jesus Himself saying that. Now, as Christians, we are to love and honor our mother and father. We are to love and take care of those that are close to us. But we cannot reject God to do it. Now, I realize that none of us are deserving salvation on our own merits. I understand that. We do nothing to deserve God's grace. But when we choose that which is temporary over that which is eternal, then we go back to that stupid, foolish category. Folks, you know, this is going to sound stupid, I know, but when I was a teenager, I really loved building model airplanes. And I had one that I was really proud of. I had painted the details, you know, and I'd gone in the cockpit. It was a MiG-15. Okay, and it was, you know, and I took it to school, and I was so proud of it. And I was, look what I, you know, created with my hand. It was not a small one. It was, you know, about average size, and it was so beautiful. And I remember a feller by the name of John, not my brother John, but a different John. I'm not going to say his last name because, that's, you know, Facebook is out there. But anyway, he took it, and he said, oh, this is pretty. Bam! Up against the wall. Broke it all to pieces. And I got angry. And I wanted revenge. Now, I was only 15 years old. I was a sophomore in high school. But that bothered me my whole life. I wanted to just take and just commit something. But then, you know, the Lord gave me peace later. But much later. In fact, when I was a paramedic, the young man moved back to town. I might have told some of you this before, but I want to repeat it here. He moved back to town. His daddy needed an ambulance, so I went to get him, and I met him again. And after we took care of his dad and got him to the hospital, I said, "Hey, man, can I come see you one of these days?" And he said, "Yeah." And so a couple weeks later, I went to his house and found out what an awful life he had had. Two divorces, kid that didn't speak to him, very bad job. He was living off his mom and daddy, who were very wealthy in the county. And the only thing I could come out of there was telling him that I'm sorry we didn't have a friendship when we were young. Now, I forgive you of all that you did to me, and I hope you will forgive me of all that I did to you. Now, I didn't remember anything I did to him, but I'm sure I did something. And you know, confessing Christ before him meant a lot to me. It gave me peace. But more than that, he started going to church. Now, I never knew if he became a Christian or not. I know he wasn't at the time, but he did start going to church before I moved out of my hometown. You see, when we confess before our family members, sometimes they don't want to hear it. Why? Because they like doing those ungodly things. And if we got this stick in the mud, this Christian, we can't have much fun because we feel guilty. Good! I hope you feel guilty enough that you will turn around and go to the God who loves you and will save you if you confess Him. Stand on that truth. Stand by your actions. Stand not only by what you say, because folks, if you say and you carry a Bible on Sunday morning and then I catch you down there at the new liquor store on Tuesday afternoon getting you margaritas for the weekend. Now folks, drinking an alcoholic drink, beer or whiskey or whatever, is not going to send you to hell. It's your heart that God sees. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and get drunk, all right? Because the Bible says, do not be drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. But what I'm telling you is people see you, and if you profess one thing and do something else, then your testimony ain't worth spit. Now, those are about as harsh words as I can get up in the pulpit. But it's true nonetheless. Live out your faith in front of others. Do not deny the Lord by your actions. Do not, in your family, say you're one thing and then at home act like something else. And brothers and sisters, I've done that. I'll get mad at something or something and I have to pray for forgiveness because it's not what I'm supposed to be. When we choose what is temporary over what is eternal, it's wrong. If we cannot give our all, you better enjoy what you can today, because tomorrow you're going to lose it all. You're going to die and spend eternity separated from all that is good, holy, and true, from the Lord your God. Now here comes a verse that's even stronger, verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now, brothers and sisters, we use this in terms of martyrdom all the time. People die for the cause of Christ. Wonderful. They took their cross all the way to Calvary. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What about you? Are you going to take that cross? Well, he doesn't call me to take the same cross. You're absolutely right. Maybe God does not call you to take that cross, but He calls you to take a cross. Your cross. And that's the very words. Not His cross. We are all assigned a cross to bear for our Lord. Now, Jesus does tell us, take His yoke upon Him, for His yoke is easy and His burden is light. So that beam, when we're in with Christ, doesn't seem like a feather. Yet it's there. And sometimes the weight of this world, sometimes the actions of our loved ones, sometimes things that go on in the society, they're going to bear down on that and keep you down. It's like, I don't know how many of y'all lifted weights in high school, but you remember the lift you had, the deadlift? Not the deadlift. The one where you put the rack on and you have to go down and lift it up. Well, that cross beam is getting you lower and lower and lower. And it's only through the power of God that you can stand it back up. But that feeling you got when you were lifting and you got that weight up, y'all can tell by my physique, I didn't do a lot of that. But I did a little of it. It's a great feeling. How much more the feeling when God is with you and He lifts that burden up. Like when Moses had his two arms lifted up over the battle when Joshua's in the field. God will hold you up. He will hold that beam up. He will help you carry that cross. And when He does, and you know that you're victorious through Him, man, that's a good feeling. That's better than any drug ever produced. It's better than any liquor ever produced. It's better than any high you can get from anything else, knowing that you were used by God and you're victorious in God. But the world hates it. And like I said, this is one of the hardest verses that people can read and hear. If we are not willing to take our cross, and that means our faith, our relationship with God, our stand on the truth and all that that offers, and follow Christ until our death, either natural, accidental, or being martyred, then we are not worthy of the calling of Jesus upon our lives. You've got to be willing. You've got to be ready. You've got to be spiritually able. You can be the most weak physical person there is. I've had 100-year-old ladies and 98-year-old men, but they were prayer warriors that you would not believe. And their strength was greater than many healthy people I've seen. It was a wonderful thing to be around folks like that. Many of y'all are like that. And it's wonderful to be here when you start talking about God and His grace and His mercy in your life. Because you see, if this here life on earth is all you want, it's all you're going to get. Now, you'll exist, but it's not eternal life. It's eternal death. You will know, you will see, you will hear, you will feel the rich man that died when Lazarus the beggar died. He knew everything. And he was in torment. So all your faculties are there, but it's not life. Why is it not life? Because life is given and life is created and life is sustained by eternal God. Jesus Christ says He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you are in Him, you are alive forever. But if you're separated from Him, then you're dead forever, although you exist. Now some folks say, well, that's too metaphysical for me, preacher. That's mythology. No, it's not. It's the truth. It is the truth. He that finds his life shall lose it. And he that loses life for my sake shall find it. You can have everything in the world your heart, your flesh desires and still die miserable and alone and separated from God. I would rather die with nothing than leave my Lord, because I know my Lord is waiting. To be separate from the body is to be with the Lord. Amen. Our faith must be solid and unflinching. Our faith must be in Christ alone for salvation. For what can a man give for his soul? Nothing. You know why? On that level, you ain't got nothing. Because your soul don't belong to you. Your soul either belongs to the enemy or it belongs to God. And you have to choose whom you will follow. Choose this day whom you will serve. And once you make that decision, if it's a real, godly, intently, true decision that you make to follow Jesus Christ, then you are saved. For if your heart believes, now I'm going to probably get this in wrong order. If your mouth confesses that Jesus is Lord and your heart believes that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Not you might be saved, you could have been saved, you are saved if your heart is true in those proclamations. Because once you do that, you take up that cross. You put that weight on your shoulders. But you're following your God. You are following your Savior. You are following your King. Because our kingdom is not of this world. Our reward is not of this world. Although we do have some blessings in this world. We do. But the Bible tells us that what's waiting for us, eye has not seen and ear has not heard. All that awaits for us in Christ Jesus. We must confess the truth of Jesus before all men if it costs us family, friends, jobs, education, status, or even life itself. We must. Because if we confess Him before men, He will confess us before the Father in heaven. And if we deny Him before men, He will deny us before the Father in heaven. Verse 40 says, He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Brothers and sisters, we are to help and support each other. Now, when Jesus said little ones, many of us think that we're talking about children. No. The little ones he's talking about is those that are little in faith. Beginning Christians. People that are weak because things that have happened. And we help them by praying for them, by strengthening them. There are those in this audience right now that are facing things that we dread to face. And we can pray for them and lift them up and strengthen them and be there for them. You know, we always joke about Baptists and the potato salads, right? We're always joking. That's like the old joke about how many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb. One to change the bulb, three to pray for them, and one to bring the potato salad. Okay? We joke about that. But you know that when you are down and when you are hurting and when you're going through something and a brother or sister or multiple come to you and they bring you a potato salad or a pie and they pray with you and they help you, it is an incredible feeling of love and support because they are being the hands and feet of Christ for you, to you, and that you must be for others. Because in that way, we confess Him before men, and we will receive the reward for being godly Christians. That's what we're supposed to be as Christians. Supporters, not tear-downers, if that's even a word. Not people who gossip. Not people who say, hey, did you hear this? No. We are to strengthen and love and support and care for each other because in that way, we profess Him before men. And don't just do it for church folks. Do it for any of your neighbors that really need some love. Because if you do that, you are proclaiming Him before the world. And you are professing Him from your heart to those that need Him. And God willing, a door will open and you can have that conversation that He calls you to have. Those who hear your words, see your lives, and experience your actions, do so in faith in Christ, whom you represent, or are moved to seek Jesus because of your actions. Imagine that. Imagine that. You get to profess. I've had the privilege and the honor of talking to people who needed Christ, and they accepted. They didn't accept me. They accepted the invitation from Jesus to know them and love them. Now, brothers and sisters, in doing that, and I'm going to start closing here, in doing that, we are not to look down on those who have weak faith, but strengthen them as they mature into bold believers. Do not weaken by your words or careless inference those who hold God in high regard for His miracles and His mercy. Do not voice your doubt and unbelief because those who are seeking to glorify God as He works in their lives to move them closer to Him. Do strengthen the weak by encouraging them. Provide relief for them that are in dire straits. Pray with them. Sing to them. Glorify God with them when they see His hand in their lives. Confess Him before men and women who are struggling in life. Then you will be giving that cup of cold water to the little ones in faith who see that you are closer to Jesus. Bless them in every way that God calls you to do. Now, I got to be clear, because they see you closer, you might not actually be closer than they are. But they see strength that Christ gives you, and they need it for their own lives. Thus, Let us ever be witnesses to Him who loves us. Let us never deny Him by selfish or arrogant words or actions. All we do in life is witnessed by others and by God Himself. Let us encourage each other and support each other when those close to us try to ridicule or question our faith or draw us away from God. Let us be true brothers and sisters while we travel this path upward to glory. And let us lastly take up our cross like our Lord and climb that hill towards our entrance into the courts of the Lord God Almighty. In John Bunyan's classic book, The Pilgrim's Progress, the young man Christian, he takes off his pack when he comes to the cross. But as he's getting toward the celestial city, as he's getting ready to cross the river, if I remember, it's been a long time since I read it, but if I remember, the angels came and they picked him up and they carried him across that river to his celestial home. Brothers and sisters, if we live our lives, we do not deny Him, and we are what God wants us to be on this earth, warts and all, that day we will be carried into the presence of our King. And there ain't no feeling like it. Nor should there be. Blessings and peace to all of you. Amen and amen. Praise team. Not yet, brother. He's ready to get out of here. No, I'm not. Just quick word before the praise team sings. Folks, if you don't know Him, now's the time. If you do know Him, but you feel that you've moved away from Him, turn around and come home. He ain't left. He never will leave. We walk away. We get lost. We do all kinds of things. But He's always there for us. And if we turn to Him, we will have that peace that the world cannot understand. And we will be living our lives, professing Him before man in all places and at all times. Let us do that today. Please stand.